You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to another episode of the All Systems Go podcast, where we invite startup founders and digital marketers to share software and strategies to use to grow and scale your business. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge. And in this episode, I coined the phrase in the automation space, doing things the right way. And I talk about that a lot, but it's hard to do things the right way with the wrong people. So I want to take some time today in this episode and talk about finding the right people for your business. And this is something that I find myself, everybody's included in this process. And it's just a matter of where you are. When I was more junior in my career, I found myself on kind of like that initial trial. Hey, I'll hire this guy and see. People were paying for my knowledge, for my learning, not my knowledge. I was essentially getting a free education on behalf of my clients. And I moved the needle a little bit, and then, you know, someone else they would bring on and so forth. So over time, I feel like if I use a football analogy, an American football for my international folks, where every play, the purpose is to get closer and closer to the goal line, right? And you have some players on the team that can cover more yardage. And then you do have every now and then a Hail Mary. You don't want to rely on this, but you do have the Hail Mary where you just kind of throw it, close your eyes, cross your fingers, and just hope that it gets caught and that you score. But for the most part, what you're looking for is someone nice and steady that can get you 10 yards, 20 yards, 5 yards, 15 yards. Just keep picking up yardage. And that's what I'm referring to when I talk about the right people. That process of your business going 5 yards, 10 yards, 20,000, 50,000 closer to that revenue goal. How do you find the people that can empower you to do that? Right. So again, it's an iterative process. And we see this. We see this with jobs. We see this with dating. You see it with dating. You see it with experts and freelancers. And what I'm referring to is it's two sides to this thing, right? You don't necessarily find the right thing or the right person, let's say. You either learned through the process what's good for you. You didn't start knowing, and through the process, you learned. In that case, experience is your teacher, right? And then on the other side, you started with something that was good, and you learned how to appreciate it, hopefully, right? You learned how to appreciate it. And that's the, you know, you don't miss a good thing till it's gone type dynamic. And that's wisdom as your teacher. That means I didn't need to lose this thing to appreciate it, right? Where sometimes experience, you learn through loss as well as gain. And again, no one is better than the other. Our life is consists of both, right? So maybe you're the person that met your high school sweetheart and married them, right? You knew, listen, you're the one. I don't need anybody else, right? Or maybe you're the one that had a few heartbreaks, broke a few hearts, made a few mistakes here and there. And after all, you're like, okay, I know exactly the type of person that I want to spend the rest of my time with. And I'm not dating anymore, anything else. Well, the same is said if we flip this and talk about freelancers, right? Talk about hiring people for your company or organization. And the reality is when you start out, you don't necessarily know everything that you need to know to get the most out of the people that you hire. So you're either going to hire someone who's more experienced and you maybe you don't know how to appreciate that, right? You just don't have that experience, or you hire somebody who's more junior and you expect more out of them than they can give you. And in both cases, one, you have to slow down, the other one, you have to speed up. Whatever the case is, it's important that you identify where you're at and where the person that you're looking for is at. And I say this because when I think of my hiring process in my business, for companies, I've been pretty solid with hiring because it's very easy for me to come in, identify strengths, weaknesses, gaps, right? Gap analysis, and just pay attention to people's strengths and understand what level of person I'm looking for. So that company has history that allows me to learn. I can learn from their previous experience, then use wisdom going forward. So for my business, it hasn't always been that way. So I've gone through VAs, I've gone through multiple types of talent, and some of them, rightfully so, should have left. I burned them out. I put so much on their plate because I could move at such a rapid rate in automation myself. I can build a landing page, set up an automation, do some personalization. Like, I can do all of this within an hour. So then I ask you to do it and then ask you to do some other stuff. And by the end of the day, their eyes are crossed, their heads overwhelmed. Yeah, they should have. And I learned a lesson, right? So in that, what I'm saying is, my process of finding the right person has been more from experience, right? Because I'm trying to figure out what works for my business. And it's easy to write someone off. That's the easiest, laziest thing to do. Oh, they weren't a good fit. I understand hire slow, fire fast. I get all of that. I trust me, I do. But you also have to factor in the part that you played. Maybe you weren't as clear. Maybe they needed more time and you had false expectations. Maybe that right person just needed some growth, right? So, an opportunity to show up and shine. And maybe, just maybe, you need to get more clear with what you need. So the right person becomes this blend of you knowing what you need and them knowing how to satisfy, we'll say, that need or meet the need in a way where equal value is understood and exchanged. So in context of business, sometimes it takes the clients to go get abused before they appreciate your approach and expertise. So if you're that person that's come in and you're like, I'm just trying to tell them how to do it. They won't listen to me. I'm trying to help this company. I see the light. I see the way. And they just won't, it doesn't work. They just won't open up to me. Sometimes it takes that client to just learn the hard way, learn through experience. And then they'll come back and realize, oh, this is why, right? Have we all had that this is why client where they challenge you on every step? And when I say challenge you, I don't want to make them sound like they're like bad people. Maybe they've got a control aspect to them. Maybe they're used to people operating the way that they deem instead of following other people's process. It could be a variety of things, but it comes off as a negative experience from the person delivering the service, right? Now that person, you could try your hardest and say, you know what? Well, hold on. This is why we don't send emails to the entire list. Now, I know you've got 200,000 contacts, but if I were to tell you only 2,500 are truly opening and we're wasting over 30,000 emails on the other, that's really damaging. Just trust me, let's just send to this segment to build our reputation and then we can start to expand out. I just don't understand. Why can't we send to the whole list? I have friends who send way more emails than me and they're just fine. What's going on? Right? We've all had that questioning of process, questioning of the operations. And for those people, sometimes it takes that client to go off, get abused, hit their head, scrape their knees before they come back and really appreciate the approach, right? And then the other times, you know, they are aware and they're mindful while working with you and see the value. I think that's the circumstance that we all hope for, right? is that you're working with someone and they're giving you your flowers while you're there. They're taking time out to appreciate and say, hey, listen, Chris, before you, we didn't have any clue what we were going to do. And all of a sudden, we've got ultimate clarity. Oh, my goodness. We see things differently now. We don't know where we would be without you. Right. It's a great feeling. But let me add some context to this. I don't want to just fluff your head up. If you're that expert, understand the people before you that set the table. OK. And this is for this podcast is for both the digital marketer and the founder. Just follow me here. That founder has hired a freelancer before. Maybe it didn't work out, but that freelancer did get some yardage, right? Maybe they hired another consultant and lost yardage, but they learned, right? So now they hired another one and they got even more yardage. Though they're nowhere near the goal line, there has been stuff put in place that you get to build upon to take them further. And if there's anything that I've prided myself in doing in this industry is it, I think it's easy to talk about what went wrong with a previous agency, a previous consultant, a previous service provider. That's easy. That's easy. So I never, and when I say never, if I've done it, it's been unintentional, but I never allow somebody's bad experience to be a reason or justification or a means of me puffing myself up. If anything, I'd like to go and see what that previous person did, because whether it worked or not, I can usually find some gems. I can usually find some stuff that it was like, oh, they were actually right in this assessment. They just didn't know how to execute it. But since I know how to execute it, we'll be able to go further. Right. And maybe it's a humility approach. Right. I never want to be above, get so high that I've arrived. I can't listen. I can't learn. Right. And it has served me well. It has served me well. So I know from the founders, you're just like, oh, I had to get rid of them. I had to get rid of them. I mean, I've seen cases where people are using like spreadsheets or other software for CRMs. And my initial knee-jerk reaction is, yuck, who is the idiot? That's my initial internal. I don't let that come out. And in my community, we speak freely. So I have safe places to go and express my disgust and frustration with such an approach. But then I'll go into the spreadsheet. I'll go into that software platform and I'll see what they were doing and see, oh, I see what you were trying to execute. You just didn't have the acumen to get it there. And I'll take bits and parts from that because it's already in the business. Those parts are already in the business or have already been exposed to the business. And a lot of times, if I could just tweak that a bit with my acumen, we could get a quick win. And that's what every business wants on both sides. As the consultant, you want to be able to get that quick win. And as the founder, you want that quick win given to you. So I like to highlight this because it is an iterative process. You're going to hire more than one person for the same job. You're going to need to have multiple consultants, multiple employees, multiple human resources to get the job done. If instead of looking at it as, oh, they didn't do everything we expected, see what boxes they checked and see what ignorances they exposed. And that allows you to go into the next hire. It allows you to go into the next engagement that much more informed. Right. So this is the dichotomy, right? It's the two sides of finding the right people. Is I need to know what I want. I need to know what I'm looking for. Let me tell you, I've got a buddy, probably the most process driven individual. And I've learned a lot just from how he operates and how stable and structured he is. And when you come into his business, I'm not talking about SOPs. SOPs are good to like follow. Hey, this is what we do. These are like extremely detailed process docs with ultimate clarity and context of why you want something. Now, he's able to get like expert results from the most novice person at times. Like He could hire somebody on Fiverr, and it looks like they were somebody hired from an agency or something. Now, why does that work? Because he's taken the time to learn exactly what he needs, and he knows how to communicate exactly what it looks like. A good example is when I'm working with web designers for my website, I'm extremely careful. I'm talking about colors. I'm recording Loom videos and walking through other websites. Like, I really like this. You see how that white space is used. I'm trying to have this look and feel, but I have this content. Don't necessarily know how to bridge them. Sometimes when they provide a design to me, I don't have Photoshop or anything like that, but I could do like a poor man's mock-up, pulling up the graphic on my iPad in like a art program like Procreate or Pencil or Paper, whatever it's called. I think it's Paper, and just kind of like mocking it up and saying, no, this is the direction. It first off, the service provider is elated because it's like, oh, I see. Because you don't want them spinning their wheels trying to figure out what you are lazily not telling them. So now you're getting this polished product from a service provider who's not charging you polished money to do so. And I'm just mentioning one benefit of knowing exactly what you want, right? Now, the flip side is you've got to be able to know when a consultant is learning on the job and when they're leading with acumen, right? This is the combo. I'm over here as a founder learning what I need. And then on the other side, I'm trying to identify if they have the chops to meet this need that I'm trying to identify that I need. You see it? It's a cycle, right? And there is no, this is not a podcast to say right and wrong. I'm just trying to help you all navigate. I want to help the consultant stop operating with the imposter syndrome. And I want the founder to have more realistic expectations around who you're hiring and how far they're going to be able to take you. I can't tell you how many instances I have come in and they've got an overworked marketing manager doing everything. Really, they should be a CMO with the amount of responsibilities, but they have the title of a marketing manager and they're a junior level. And I could tell that the founder just threw marketing on them because they needed to get it off their plate or they needed to do some level of marketing. Now, when I come into those situations, I'm not going to try to show up or one up that marketer. I'm trying to empower them. Because they may be the exact person that company needs, but they need guidance. They need help. They need resources, right? So I'll come into those situations and see, okay, how far have you been able to take this company? All right, great. Well, it's not how far, now that I'm here, how far can I take them now that I'm added to the team? Even if it's in a consultant capacity, we're still a team, right? Now that I'm here, collectively, now how far can we go? And I pride myself on getting ultimate yardage, right? I pride myself on those plays, 30 yards, 50 yards, scoring touchdowns. That's what I want to do. That's my metric a lot of times. So when you're thinking about, you know, I need to know my needs just as well as the marketer that I'm hiring needs to have skills. What does that look like when it comes to building a marketing team and what to expect? Well, just let me share with you. I did a training. I'm losing track of all of these communities I do trainings in. I believe it was Dan Martell's SaaS Academy. I believe so. Correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody send me an email and be like, hey, Chris, it was actually our our community. But it was how to build an effective marketing team. And in this presentation, room full of startup founders, in this presentation, I walked through the makeup of a startup team, of a marketing team for your average startup, right? To stay scrappy and you know, get things done efficiently. And in that, there was a lot of light bulbs going off on the people required. There's not just a marketer required. There are other role players that you need to run a highly effective marketing team. However, what I'm talking about on this podcast is how do you realistically build that marketing team? Because starting out with no marketing, you're going to need somebody who's strategic. Then you're going to need somebody who's good at implementing. just those two alone, we haven't even touched like web stuff, copywriting, graphic design, any of that. We haven't touched any of that, which are all part of a marketing team, by the way. Just the strategy of marketing and the implementation, it's iterative. It really is, because your marketing strategy will change. When you have nothing, it's kind of like, hey, let's do this thing. But when you start doing that thing and it's working, you start getting bigger vision and bigger eyes. And that marketer may have been able to take you, if it's 10 as a result, they may have been able to take you from 1 to 4. That does not mean that they're a bad marketer or they did something wrong. They've just exhausted their level of their capabilities, right? Now, of course, you can send them to training. You can send them to communities and all of that to expand that, which would, what I would tell you, if you're working with somebody and they're getting yardage, 5, 10, 15, stick with them. And if you meet somebody else that can get you the 20, 30, just add them to the team. Don't replace them, right? And that's not a rule of thumb, but that's what I try to do, right? So now sometimes, what if that consultant, what if they just do level four work? Their specialty is taking you from 1 to 4. If we embrace this, look how much better our relationships will be when team building. If you brought on a consultant said, hey, look, I'm really good at taking you from nothing to an online presence on one channel. Once we've done that, then we usually have you bring in somebody else to take it further. That's like subbing out your running back that was made for like short yardage and putting in the one that can run further or run fast or is more agile. I don't know why I have the American football analogy, but just roll with me through this. I'm sorry for those of you that don't watch sports, but I think you still understand what I'm saying, right? It's the handoff, the relay. Hey, I can take you 200 meters. Now, here you go. You take the next 200. This is how I believe business should be ran. This way, when you prepare for a position in your company, whether it's a freelance or an employee, it's, you can create it to be more plug and play. You're not creating one position for that one person to do everything. That's what breaks everything that I'm telling you today. If you're trying to get one person to do every single thing and pay them to do every single thing, so you're really paying one salary for four people, that's the part that's not going to work. Okay. That's not going to work in what I'm mentioning here. So with that being said, we're talking about finding the right people, how to build that marketing team. What does it look like? It's okay. It's sometimes you just need a foot, a meter, a yard, right? You just need a win. Hey, right now I just need somebody that knows how to take my video and make it into reels so we could just start having a presence. Well, that person does it and they've exhausted their capabilities. Great. Now you've got that in place and it's exposed new needs. Go find the next and the next. What you will find is this. This is where you'll end up, everybody. You'll end up in a position where you're truly ready to bring on an expert. Somebody that's worth investing the 5, 10, 25K into, because your business is now at a point where doing so will yield a big result, right? You're not going to be able to do that out the gate. Even if you have money, I see founders all the time. They raise capital, millions in the bank, and they want to go hire the top expert. You're only going to get, now that expert can take you the whole field. They can take you from 0 to 1 million, but they're going to need help. Usually an expert of that capacity is not going to be building. They're not going to be implementing. Even myself, I contract out I bring on help that I've trained. You know, I'm not the one going in there building, because at some point you're going to be paying a premium for my hourly rate or project-based rate. And two, I just don't do it. You'd be better off having access to my brain if your company is in the right position. Right. So you use these freelancers and marketing assistants and consultants and all of that to not just figure out what you need, but also move your business forward to get to a point where you can truly hire and bring on an expert. I have been put in the fortunate positions, I'll say blessed, to be able to work with a few startups. This is outside of ActiveCampaign and Lead Pages that most people know me by, but more private startups. And I tell you, it's been a joy being able to come in at the capacity that my acumen is at and be able to make an immediate impact because they've moved the business as far as they could working with everyone else. And I come in, build off of what's in place and take it to the finish line. That's the most comfortable position I've been in. Now, I've had startups where I've taken them from zero, inception, worked on the business plan, stayed overnight, up late, eating, falling asleep, waking up, where are we at on the business plan, projections and all of that, to raise capital, to start to build the team and start building processes. I've done it, don't enjoy it as much, but I've done it, right? So I pride myself, again, in being that person that you can bring on when you need the major yardage. That doesn't make me better than any other consultant that, let's say, has mastered just getting the small yardage or the smaller victories. What I want to do is just shape context around this whole conversation so that you understand it's a process. And if you stop on the founder side, if you stop trying to hire the perfect person and just focus on the right person for right now, consultants, if you stop trying to be everything, freelancers, if you stop trying to be everything, you won't have to worry about the imposter syndrome. Understand where your skills can take a business. And that's what you sell. You do that well enough, you'll slowly start to add to how far you can take a business and what you can do. But it is a process. And let me just say, we're all practitioners. We're all growing together. Even doctors have patients that die on that operating table. You're not going to get it right every time. And I don't honestly think people expect that. I think what people expect is if you don't get it right, that you own up to it, accountability, and then you ideate, provide solutions. Don't just, oh, it wasn't me. Oh, I don't know what happened. Own it. And then come up with solutions to work towards, right? They just want to know that you're responsible and you're going to put the level of effort in, okay? So with that being said, where do you find such talent? Okay, because I do not want anybody to listen to this, and especially if you're in HR, I don't want this to come off like, oh my gosh, he's just telling people to just have low standards, go hire people, work with them, and just settle for less. No, don't. Again, I'm all about the slow hire, fast fire. Run your DISC assessment, have them talk to multiple people in your organization, get your spouse involved that knows nothing about the company but can read people really well. Like, no, run your checks and balances. Don't get me wrong. And you want to get the best. You always want to get the best talent. Okay. All I'm telling you is the best talent isn't always the person that can throw the winning pass on the first go. So where do you find some of these people? I'm going to let you know where I found some and where I prepare some to be found. Okay. Masterminds. I think quiet is kept for those of you who have not joined a mastermind or are not part of one or have not been part of one in the past. I guess that's one and the same, joining and being part of one. You're missing out on a huge opportunity. Community just in itself. But masterminds are intentional with bringing the minds together and solving higher level of problems. And what I found in every single mastermind that I've been a part of and am aware of is there become synergistic opportunities within it. You have one person that comes in and says, hey, I'm really good at ads. Then another person that comes in and says, hey, I'm really good at content. Wait a minute. Ads person, I need content. Hey, content person, I need ads, right? This happens frequently, the synergy in masterminds. And then usually because there's an investment, you get to rub shoulders with people who have just as much skin in the game as you. So you may need to invest in a mastermind to start to get exposed to a whole level of synergy and a network, right? A network of resources. Second are programs. My first program I purchased online was Brendon Burchard's Total Product Blueprint. The second one was Jeff Walker's Product Launch Formula. It was in a community in Jeff Walker's Product Launch Formula in his program that I started to really market myself as someone who could do email and automation, right? I had a website, I was blogging, I was getting no traction. It wasn't until I joined that program where when you're in a program with somebody else, there's just an inherent level of vulnerability that's there. You've already said, look, I'm in this program to learn something, right? So everybody is on the same page in terms of learning, in terms of what they want out of the program. So those are good. And actually, programming communities go hand in hand. Not always. Some people have programs and not communities, but a lot of programs these days have communities. But paid communities is what I'm talking about. No knock against free communities, but again, no skin in the game. No, and it could be anybody. If it's free, you really have no control over the avatar, right? The target audience. Because in order to make money online or in business, you have to target someone. So the fact that somebody paid for something is already your first sign that, okay, there's a certain type of person in this community. And communities are great because it allows you to nurture, build relationships at a safe pace. Some people want to jump right in. Hey guys, I'm new to the community, looking for blah, 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 blah. Some people kind of like to ease their way in. Communities, hugely, hugely effective. Events, especially now that COVID is subsiding and everything is opening up. Events are great places to meet people in person. There's nothing like shaking somebody's hand, looking at them in the eye and seeing their authenticity, right? Events are great. Referrals are great if you are tapped into the, if they're coming from the right person. I want to shout out somebody in my community, Karanda. Karanda does a really good job with vetting. She does a really good job at vetting people and referring them to my business. Really good job. The leads that come through her are pretty solid. I would say all of my students that have referred somebody, it's been a solid lead, right? And that's because I prepare them. They know exactly who I'm looking for, the type of people I work with. So referrals has an asterisk. You don't just ask, hey, refer somebody. That's kind of like the old school marketing that a lot of service-based businesses still do. No, prepare your referees so that they know how to get the right referrals. And then lastly, certification. Certification is not always a given, but it's a good starting point. I have a certification. Now, I'll say this. On the flip side, I've gone through other people's certification. And let me just say this. No knock against Tina Forsyth, but she's got a certification for OBMs. And the website to find an OBM, I've had a bad experience with. I just have not been able to go through that. Most of the time when you reach out to people on that website, they don't respond and whatever the case may be. However, my OBMs have been certified through her program. So though I may not be able to use the website as I anticipated, the certification in itself is still a badge and a check that I say, okay, well, at least they know what they're doing. So this is why I created my certification. So that if you looked for somebody to do your automation service provider, you at least knew a starting point. And I'm not talking about like, well, okay, I'll try that. No, these are solid marketers, some of the top marketers in the industry, because one, they've been trained by me, not fluffing my own self up. But what I'm saying is this, if they've been trained by me, that means I've taught them. I'm a teachable person, which means they taught me, which means I go back and teach them. Our community is that symbiotic growth. I can't explain it, but I'm so glad we have it. We share strategies. We share wins, client stories, struggles. Just the other day, we were trying to figure out how to do something in the platform for one of the students' clients, right? This is what you need. You need these types of resources to find these type of professionals easier. And then on the flip side, if you're a digital marketer, You need to be a part of these things. You need to go through, pay for a program, invest. It's going to just help you get those companies more yardage quicker. But don't play the nickel and dime route, because you become, if both of you are nickel and diamond, you're only going to be moving like 1 yard at a time, looking at all of these other companies scoring touchdowns, running the full length of the field. This is what it takes. It takes a commitment on both sides. So I hope that was helpful, everybody. Again, you're not looking for the perfect person. You're just looking for the right person. And that is the person that could take you from wherever you are now to a defined point later. And then you keep looking for the next right person and the next and the next. Sometimes that right person is in your business for years. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes you learn to appreciate them when you have them. Sometimes you have to lose them to learn, oh, wow. Sometimes you have to take on the load that they were carrying that they made look so easy in order for you to be like, ooh, okay, I see. I see why we were paying them what we were paying them. Look, can we call them back? You got to be prepared that the as inflation increases, so do prices in value and worth. So you may not be able to get them for the same price. So I try to lean on appreciating people while you have them, making sure that you get the most out of them, and growing together. We're all in this together, trying to figure it out. Let's be a little more patient, gracious with one another, but let's not lower the bar. Let's not lower the standard on the digital marketer side. Listen, they've got too many resources to be around here quoting ridiculous prices and not having the acumen to back it up. There's too many resources. My program is one, right? And I know of other programs. I know other tangential services that have programs and community leaders that teach stuff, right? So the digital marketer is not off the hook. On the founder side, listen, at some point you have to stop throwing blind money at stuff. Slow down. Look at what's worked. Look at what's gone wrong with who you've worked with in the past. Identify the holes. If you can't identify the holes, invest in somebody who can come in and do a gap analysis and identify the holes so you can make your next hire, your best hire of the right person, not the perfect person.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you're subscribed. At the time of recording, the All Systems Go podcast is free to subscribe to, and it can be found in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss out. And while you're at it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review to show some love, but also to help future listeners more easily find the podcast so they can experience the value and goodness as well. We've compiled all resources mentioned on the podcast, as well as other resources that are extremely valuable and effective at helping you grow your marketing automation skills quickly. And you can access them all at allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.